Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What?
Everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. I'm Steph March. You're 70 Hansen.
With allergies.
With all of your stuff. Hey, we did have a caller that was hanging out over from the last section, and I want to get to her. So it's Kim.
Kim
has a question about pots and pans.
Yeah, hi. Sorry if I'm a little late to the party here.
All good.
But I have copper pots that I inherited from my late mother.
Lucky.
And they're a... Well, I don't know. Are they good? I don't know. They're called Les Mots Oeuvres.
Yeah.
They're from France. Is that a good brand? I'm just wondering if you know of them.
I do, and yes. And copper pots are fantastic. They're great for cooking. The problem with copper pots and why we don't see them used more in everyday cooking is because they tarnish so quickly. And they get that green.
The patina.
But they
are next level gross. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the air reacting with the copper. As a pan itself and as a heat conductor, they're considered superior to everything else.
Okay, even though they have like a different metal interior.
Yes, good copper pots aren't copper on the inside. They're a different alloy on the inside that looks like a stainless steel.
Okay, this does not surprise me at all, considering my mother, but okay, I'm all good.
Did your mom have good taste?
Oh, my God. Like, everything had to be, you know.
The best.
And maybe, I will say, like, if you don't want them, you could sell them on, like, Facebook Marketplace or Etsy.
Oh, no, I use them every day.
Good.
I'm just, you know, I use them all the time. I just, like, when I see the interior, I'm sort of like, is this okay that it's not copper on the interior?
Yes.
But, okay, yeah.
It's absolutely how they are. Now, you'll see some, like, bowls that will be copper throughout because those are used for different things.
Okay. Got it.
Very fancy. I love it.
All right.
Yeah. Enjoy your copper pots.
Thanks for the call, Kim.
I have one, and it's at the cabin, and it's in a cupboard simply because it's always not polished.
Oh, yeah, right?
But I got it when I got married, and I can't part with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have any copper pots.
I just have one. It's a good saute pan. The other thing about copper that's bothering me as I get older is I'm cooking so much, but they're heavy.
Yes.
So, like, lifting it up and trying to pour something out of it.
Silly cast iron, too.
Yeah, and I was with Dolores cooking last weekend, and, you know, at 92, holding your La Crusade and trying to, like, tip it into something is hard.
The 100 reasons, which is why I'm strength training. Okay.
Yes.
Guess what time it is? It's time for Top 2 in Hour 2.
Give me the 0-1-2! 1-2-1-2. And now, the Weekly Dish presents...
Top 2.
The Top 2...
Pick your best two.
In Hour 2.
All right, give me two. Winning.
Okay, it's the time where we talk about the things that we are super loving and can't stop thinking about. So I'm going to have you go first.
Okay, so I did a podcast.
Yeah.
And this is probably a good time to say, I changed the podcast page and Facebook page for Makers of Minnesota to Dishing with Stephanie's Dish, which I've had and been podcasting there too.
Did you launch a new Instagram? You commented on my picture and I didn't know you had that Instagram.
I just changed it and upgraded to make it all one thing.
Good.
Still doing the same stuff. Just needed to simplify my life a little bit. But as part of that, I did a podcast with Bentley Gilman, who works at Tattersall. He's the head distiller there. And he has a new book that's coming out, and it is called Cocktails in Bloom.
Got it.
And you can pre-order it right now. And pre-ordering for an author is super important because if they have all these pre-orders stacked up on that first day that the book becomes available to sell, that all counts towards the sales. Mm. So like that's what can put them in like a good category of like number one bestseller or whatever is that first day.
Got it.
That's why you notice authors trying so hard to do pre-sale. But his book, and just chatting with him, he's a forager and he's foraging things that you can find in your backyard. And he had me go out and I got some Creeping Charlie.
Oh.
And I rubbed it with some sugar and then I left it in the refrigerator overnight. And then the next day I added a bottle of white wine. I happened to have a not so great Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Poured that over. I'm making homemade vermouth.
Oh.
And it is not technically vermouth because it doesn't have wormwood. But sure. It's, I'm having a dinner party tonight and I'm going to be having a little spritz for everybody.
Okay.
Made with my Creeping Charlie.
Uh-huh.
Actually, my neighbors. And
I was like, do you need more?
No, I do. But it was like, do this. It's really fun.
Creeping Charlie is great. My whole yard
it's
was
like
Creeping
mint,
Charlie.
Essentially.
It is basically an herb.
So, and you can eat it. So that's been fun. I'm excited about his book, Cocktails in Bloom. Pre-order it.
Okay. I love it. Love it. Love it. We're going to, do you have a link for that? You're going to put that up on the
Yes, I'll put it up.
Facebook? Okay. My first one is going to be the Lynn Hall in Edina, because I just had lunch there the other day, and they have wonderful new sandwiches and just new dishes on the menu, which is a really great...
I love that place.
...brunchy, just the hang in Edina
get
back
coffee,
there.
Meet
easy
someone.
To park.
Yes.
I'm just going to say, you park in the ramp, you walk over, you have your brunch, your lunchy brunch, and then you shop. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't get to shop anymore, I feel like. So just having a
you
wander.
You
want to
shop for me, have at it. Bring
never
me stuff.
It. I just never do. But I'm excited to do it. But anyway, so I had a beautiful open face salmon salad,
yum.
Smoked salmon salad,
yum.
Tartine. A tartine is like
let's
an open face.
Bring tartines back.
Yeah, well, they are coming back.
And toast.
Yes.
I'm still not
you're
over
still
avocado
your,
toast.
Basically, a tartine is a toast.
Yes.
You know? And then there was a wonderful halloumi BLT.
Yum.
So grilled, you know, the halloumi is like the cheese that you put on the grill. And it's like almost this beautiful sort of, you know, it's like a sturdy cheese.
It's almost like the texture of tofu.
A little bit. Yeah, I would agree. And except for... it's cheese.
Yeah.
So it's cheese and it's a bacon and it's on this cute little bun and it was just delicious. It was
yum.
Perfect. And then there was also some crispy falafel, which you can get with like all the accoutrement, you know, like a cucumber and all this kind of stuff. It was just fun. It was just delightful.
Yeah.
So that
a
was
delightful
the Lynn Hall.
Ladies' lunch.
Yeah. The place was packed with friends and hangouts and people just meeting up on a Friday afternoon. Loved it. So Lynn Hall in Edina is what I'm talking about.
Okay. I'm going to give you a love too.
Okay.
Sculvin Distillery.
Yeah.
This place is unlike any other.
Right.
It is in an office park in Brooklyn Center or Brooklyn Park.
Yeah.
So you're just like, wait, why would I be going to this distillery in Brooklyn Park? Because you walk through this very weird office situation, but then you open the door.
Yeah.
And it's like you go into a secret magical world. It's dark, it's moody, it's fun, it's got Japanese influences. They're making extremely delicious cocktails there. It's woman-owned. Mary is, her parents were refugees from Cambodia. Her and Tyson own the distillery. They make this delicious mango habanero rum. They have other distilled products. They're going to be coming out with the yuzu gin at the end of May. It's just a fun place
yuzu
to have a
gin.
Cocktail,
ugh.
And it feels super different than everything else.
It's dark and it's Japanese. Like
and
they
it's
are
cool.
inspired by the Japanese cocktail bars.
It is so cool. The hospitality, the way that they describe every drink, like. It was just something I'd never experienced before. You do need reservations, which is different than other cocktail rooms, both for the bar and to sit in there. It's somewhat small, and they want to know, like, if you've been there before, they, like, really take time with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun place to go with, like, a group or if you've got, like, a book club. It's fun. You just need to give it a try. I was really surprised. I've liked their spirits, but I hadn't been to the cocktail room, and it was really fun.
Okay. And Tyson is dealing with some health issues.
He is.
And so
he
I think going is a good way to support a family-owned business.
Tyson, yep.
You know?
He's a serviceman and he's been a wonderful friend. And it's just, I brought a friend that had never been there before. She's like, wait, where has this been all our lives? I'm like, it's been here.
It's been here. We put them in the magazine and I remember them feeling so, you know, overwhelmed by but I mean, it's deserved.
Very
because
much so.
The cocktails there are different than anywhere else in the Twin Cities.
And like one of the cocktails came in this weird glass and he was describing it and I was like, oh, I am not going to like that. And then I took a sip and I was like,
Yeah.
Just and it's also surprise fun. You.
Yeah. It's also very loose. Like if you're thinking this is like, oh, it's too highbrow for me. They had a drink called Bananas in Pajamas.
And they that do was a tiki one of my bar favorite. Night. It's fun.
It's totally great. All right. Agree. I love that. All right. My second thing is a thing that I have long talked about and I finally did. And we don't have a lot of time. So I'm just going to say savory French toast is now in my life in a permanent basis. I have just been making it every freaking week. And all I'm doing is taking sourdough bread and I'm slicing off a big hunk of it and I'm soaking it in an egg and milk mixture that, by the way, I chopped a bunch of ramps into and then I hit it with the stick blender.
Ramps.
And it went, yeah, my ramps. And then I went and it went crazy. And then I put, and then I soaked the bread in that. I did a quick pan sear. Obviously you do it, but I did slow and low. And this is how I think French toast needs to happen. So that you go, especially the savory kind, because you want to get that little crust. By the way, I sprinkle a little parm on the top of it so that when you sear, you know, you kind of get a good sear in butter. You just let it go and you let it sit there because you don't want it to burn, but you want that inside to get that custardy awesomeness. And so then you flip it. And here's what I put on top of it. Burrata and ramp pesto on one. And then the other one, I think I did blue cheese with creme fraiche and chives.
Oh,
oh my
yum.
God, it was so good, you guys. And little pancetta bits.
I love it.
It was one of my top meals. I have to post it, but it was crazy good. So there we go. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I think we have Chef Yevang
here.
Here.
All right, he's here. He's in a chair somewhere. I just need to run through the building and find him.
We'll be right back.
Enjoy Pilates class from the new Y that just opened
at your cabin up north.
Take a nutrition class at the new Y located in a dive bar during a mead raffle.
Here comes the mead.
Join a meditation class from the new Y in your cozy spare guest room.
Or dance cardio at the Y in your parents' woodworking / jazz studio basement.
With Virtual Y, the YMCA is wherever you are. Get free access to over 5,000 on-demand classes with your YMCA membership. Join at ymcanorth.org.
We are back, and we are here with our friend Yevang. He is debuting. You're debuting your third season, right?
Fifth?
Is it five
season?
Seasons of Relish on TPT?
No.
Five? Really?
Yeah. This is the biggest one.
And when you say it's the biggest one, is it because the episodes are longer?
Yes. And when we first started, you have to remember it was a webisode, you know, and literally it was like 6 to 7 minutes per webisode. And the very, very season one, episode one was me and my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making, I watched it.
Yeah. Making little steam buns.
So cute.
Steam buns.
And you had Nordic
right.
waffle in season one.
Yeah. Yeah. Sheena. She's amazing.
Yeah, she is.
I kept eating it at her house. Like, I learned real quick on that show because don't go on set. I mean, you guys probably know this. Yeah. Hungry.
Yeah.
No.
Like me and Jose Alcaron, he was like making little things and I kept eating it. And then Brittany, our producer, is like, hey, yeah, for this next one, can you like not eat it? And I'm like, oh.
That's what my Michelle says to me. Can you just like wait until we take the picture before you eat it?
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
And I shoved like the whole thing. And I also learned how to like eat.
TV eat?
Yes.
It's a skill. It's a TV skill.
It's a skill, but like I'm a dude, so I'm just like Hulk smash.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
But you don't have to wear lipstick, which also is
well,
weird when
I don't
you're
know,
TV eating.
Stephanie.
I know that's very assumptive of you.
Sorry. Yeah.
How do you know that's not how I have my lips pop? You know,
it could be. So yeah, there's a new TPT app.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or. Yeah. It's an upgrade of an existing app, but they're actually making it good. And you can watch all the Relish episodes there right now on your app.
May 10th. So
okay.
May 10th, it drops. All the episodes drop. We feel like Netflix a little bit. It's the PBS app, which is really cool. So you can get it at your house too. So or you know the smartphones or whatever or smart TV, and you could May 10th all the episode drops. They're 22, 23 minutes, but you know made for half an hour. And then there's two guests we have on there, and we kind of find a way of like connecting each of their stories kind of together. So it's amazing. It's so fun.
So who's on this season? Who's coming up?
Oh man, I feel bad now. Well, the only ones I can think of right now is
Mazad Chutney.
Yeah, Mazad Chutney's on, and they're amazing.
I ran into those girls in New York. Seriously,
yeah.
Is that funny?
Crazy?
They were literally we're at a cocktail party, and they looked at me. And they're like, "Are you kidding me?"
You want to hear something funny with them?
Yeah.
So we I kind of have text chain with them. It's called Mazad Girls text chain. And every time we fly out, we're Delta Lounge people. I'm sorry.
You need to be.
No excuses.
Yeah, you fly everywhere, dude.
We take pictures of like rum and coke or, you know, little pick me up. In the Delta Lounge, and we just send pictures to each other, like, at the Delta Lounge,
at the Delta Lounge.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cute. We have Orst and Nick Kramarchuk.
Yes.
So we're doing the Kramarchuk. And what I think that's probably one of the most emotional episodes I did was my father was there, too. So, because they do our Hmong sausage for us.
Yeah.
And they, it's the recipe that Dad used, or, you know, that taught us, and that's what we did, and we get to work with them and hearing their story, Orsa's story, you know, and how Nick is, you know, third generation.
Yeah.
And so we go to my, you know, my parents' house and I'm there, my dad making, and then we come to Kramarchuk and Dad's like, you know, inside, you know, with them, and Ors comes up and hugs him and,
aww,
you know, and I think one of the most emotional part for me was probably, when the cameras were off and nobody saw this, but I saw Oris go over to Dad, hugs him, and whispers in his ear. I heard him whispers in his ear and says, you have a good boy.
Oh.
And in our culture, it's not about the parents talking about how good their kids are, but when they have other people who can say, you have a good son, it is like this dubbing of you're great parents. Like your honor has been passed on, your legacy has been passed on. And it was this incredible moment where these two older gentlemen who are refugees, immigrants, one from, you know, Eastern Europe, one from Southeast Asia, and here in Minneapolis over sausage and butchery, because Dad used to be a butcher himself.
I know! Over here like in a puddly sob.
But the crazy thing was, like, I remember I left that set and I was just like, And I text Brittany and Amy, who are the producers and directors, and I said, this is what it's about. Like, this is what it's about. When PBS, when TPT believes in us and says we're going to take a chance,
mm-hmm,
you know, and finding a little bit more funding to dig into these stories,
yeah,
like, this is what it's about. And I don't know, like, I mean, I teared up. I went in my car and I teared up because my parents don't, I mean, they love what I do, and I think they understand what I do, but to hear some people going, hey, like, you know, we get to be part of this legacy where it's bigger than us. Bigger than Northeast, it's bigger than Minneapolis, where it's, you see this global thing that's happening, and it was amazing. And I think that it's like one of those things about this show that you don't see, like, we don't have time to really put that on because we have 23 minutes, right?
Right.
And it's literally like 3 days of filming, and you have to do it, and you guys get And that was probably one of the most amazing episodes. My first time tasting lutefisk.
Oh.
And can I tell you the funniest stories? We went to Bethlehem Lutheran Church,
yeah,
and we did a lutefisk dinner. Guys, I stepped into your culture.
Oh,
I did not know.
You didn't know the Lutherans.
I did not know how deep this went.
This goes deep, baby.
And by the way, when you go in there, it is more of the seniors, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have a circuit.
Yeah. The men's club are the ones who make the church, or like the, you know what I mean? It's usually, yes, one of those things, like a specific little club in the church will do it, and they're very proud of their cooking abilities.
When I say there's a circuit, there's like a calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they go from lutefisk dinner to lutefisk dinner.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Yeah.
And what did you think of it?
So here's the thing. I'm not mad at it because of the way that Nels, who's our guest in there, how they cook it. I'm not mad at it because, they roast it off in the oven. They do it in the oven. It's not boiled.
Right.
And then he goes, the secret is 140 degrees. You get it to 140 degrees, yep, and you pull it. I'm not mad at it.
Okay. If it's done the right way, it is. And especially with, I think, the way that our culture now really embraces funk and weirdness. Like, mm-hmm, you know, we're getting more used to those fermented flavors. Mm-hmm. There's something about it that is in that playing field.
Yes. And you just put a ton of butter on it.
Yeah, that's the other part of it.
Like, it butter just swims. It swims in butter.
It does.
I just snorted, yeah, but yeah, it's funny.
It is. And here's the deal: when we walked, when the TPT crew walked into that church, I mean, that's our demographic, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
We got stopped.
Yes, you did.
Every single person was like, "We watched the show. Oh my gosh, they're here." I was like, "Is this how, like, Taylor Swift feels all the time.
Yes, when you find your people.
Oh, it was amazing. It was incredible.
We're going to take a break, but we're going to hold you over.
Oh, so we're good.
We're going to hold you over.
We haven't
even
talked about your restaurant.
I know, we haven't heard about that. So we've got time. We'll be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever get that feeling where you know you need to get something off your chest? Holding stuff in really becomes a stressor. Things you want to mention to your boss, your partner, your parents. Bottling it up only makes things worse and start to make our life go sideways. But what can we do about it? Therapy is a great safe space to get things off our chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just putting those bottled up words out into the universe can be a big help, especially when it's in a safe space with your therapist. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You start by filling out a questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/weeklydish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/weeklydish.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Hey, welcome back, you guys. We are still here at the Weekly Dish with our good friend Yia Vang, who is, of course, local chef, Union Monk Kitchen, Slurp Noodle Bar, all the things. And you're obviously opening V9. Mm-hmm. And we're talking to you today because you are relaunching your Relish, your new season of Relish on TPT. It also does happen to be AAPI, Asian American Pacific Islanders Appreciation Month.
Mm-hmm. All month of May.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I think thinking about the cultures that, you know, you not are only that come from yourself, you know, from your own lived experience, but that you're choosing to highlight in this really great series. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, what the impact and what you see in the Twin Cities as far as, you know, like the rise or the influence of the Asian cultures.
Yeah, you know, I think Steph March, you called me a few years ago and you asked me like, hey, what do you think is like the next trend or what should be in people's pantries or something like that?
Yeah,
I think, right?
Sure, probably.
And I said oyster sauce and fish sauce or something like along those lines. And I think that oyster sauce and fish sauce is like a great example of that idea, right? Because mm-hmm. Like as Hmong kids, you know, Asian kids, we grew up and that was just part of the pantry. It's just like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, squid brand, three crabs, whatever. and we're like, oh yeah, cool. And as I enter into different restaurants, even restaurants where you're just like, oh dang, you guys have three crabs here, or you know,
that you wouldn't expect. Yeah. I have that in my kitchen.
Yep. Yep. And it's become this very common staple, I would say.
Yes.
And because I think that people are asking themselves is like, when I eat something or when I'm making something, I really want to chase flavor. You know, mm-hmm. I want to chase, you know, those flavors. And I think that what's happening is people aren't just eating food or literally saying this is substance, but they're just saying what is the story behind it? Where does it come from? What, you know? And I think that curiosity is getting people to see the people that make the food, those people that where the food comes from and how that food is part of their history, their lineage, you know, and everything. And so I think that we're in a really great opportunity here to talk about some of the foods that we get to do, especially from our restaurants. And then also, come alongside of all these other great, you know, Asian, chefs and restaurants that are around town here, even the ones that I think that some people would kind of put to the side and be like, oh, that's a hole in the wall or a divey place.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, man, those are the best place. Those are the ones where mom and dad have been working it for 20 some years.
Right.
And I wish I could send some of my young cooks over there and go, you go stage there for a week and you don't come back until you embrace everything.
Yep. Right.
It's ironic too, because we're in this situation with immigration, mm-hmm. not to get political, but immigration is something that is seen as bad, something that is seen as needing to be controlled, something that is seen as scary and to be fearful about people.
Certain people cast it in that way.
And then when we look at like the hospitality culture and restaurant culture, it is built on all of this immigration movement, all of these generations of people that have brought their stories through food, through family. And I just, I find that that openness to explore other people's history and their culture and their food really makes me always a better person, always more humble, always more intrigued and excited and inspired than not.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I firmly believe that food is a universal language.
Yeah,
we use to speak to each other. I think that in our kitchen at UHK, I mean, one of the most incredible things is, when I say that there are prep people, it's not like it's a less than position. It's, you know, Blanca, Patricio, and Carlos are all Ecuadorians, and they're incredible, incredible. And I'd say that they are the backbone of Union Monk Kitchen, because it's like the line cooks, yeah, like, you know, does a couple things, and, you know, they do what they do, but... Man, without Patricio, you know, Carlos and Blanca, like nothing moves. And it's so cool because I get so excited because here are three Ecuadorian cooks, you know, who are making monk food. Blows my mind. Yeah. And even like Patricio, like loves it. You know, he's just like, and it's incredible. And it's so fun because it is that universal language where like, I don't really speak Spanish that well. I'm poquito, you know, a little bit. And he doesn't speak, you know, he speaks English a little bit. And he also, you know, he definitely doesn't speak Hmong, but he like we can just, we can show him.
You
like,
can vibe together.
Yeah. And it's incredible. And it's the hustle they put in there. And I mean, I get it, you know, and so it's such a great blessing to work alongside of them.
But that we also go from like lutefisk to that, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean, that's the thing is like, and it's funny because, you know, I was talking with Phil Rosenthal from Somebody Feed Phil last night, and he was saying, you know, one of his big moments was like immigrants, we built, you know, the country and everything else. And he's talking about traveling and how it makes you see people, you know, as yourself because you are sharing that meal. And I think that that's like, you don't have to also leave the Twin Cities to have that experience because
you can eat it.
We really have, and even Chef Morelli, Martin from Four Seasons said he's been all over town and he's been experiencing these things. There's such a rich culture and a way to experience other worlds and other lands and other cultures just by being here.
Yeah, I think that what's really exciting about Minneapolis, I was talking to, there's this producer that was thinking about the project. We were talking together and he said to me, you know, like, oh, we would love to focus on Minneapolis because it's kind of like this. And he's from, you know, from the bigger cities, you know what I'm talking about?
We just call it the coast.
The coast.
Over here like on the show. Right. And the coasts recognize us.
And I don't think he meant it in any offensive way, but he just said, you know, Minneapolis, you know, is kind of a food desert area. And I'm like, bro, you don't know.
Nope, you don't know.
Because I think that some people, like us from Minneapolis here, they think there's the mindset for some of the younger folks here, you know, when they're like, oh, I want to go see the world. And I'm like, dude, the world has come to you.
It's come to you. We are a hub.
Like, do you understand that if you go into the Phillips neighborhood in South Minneapolis, there's like literally 100 different languages spoken there. You understand that you go on university here in St. Paul, like it's called, you know, Little Mekong. Why?
Yeah.
Because Southeast Asians all, you know, are all around there from all of Southeast Asia. The world has come to you, and you have to be curious enough to say, what's in my backyard?
Yeah.
And so all these kids are going, oh, I got to travel here. I want to travel here. And I'm like, you literally 5 miles away. Mm-hmm. You're in a different world. And if you are, you know, if you're curious enough to say, how do I peek into that? I mean, like kids at St. Thomas, I'm like, you guys don't have to go that far.
Yeah.
To see like 5-6 different cultures that literally are touching up by your campus.
Yeah,
you know?
You just have to be brave enough to go in and feel the curiosity.
Yep.
And you also have to put yourself second.
Yep.
You have to be selfless. You have to go there and not think, A, you know everything, and B, you're going to run the show. Feel good and like be ready to not know and to find out and be taught. Mm-hmm. Like that's the other side of it. You have to be humble in order to receive that.
I think, too, if you are intimidated, like, reach out to a friend that maybe is a little more adventurous. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that feels a little easier. My daughter, Ellie, is a very adventurous person. Mm-hmm. And
so you're saying Ellie will take everybody out?
Ellie will.
For a small fee. Ellie will be your consulting.
The fee, all you have to do is pay. That's like her grandma's like, oh, I know if I invite Ellie to dinner and I pick up the check, she'll come.
That's right.
But that makes me maybe makes it have a little entry that feels a little easier. When we talk about Vinay, which is this restaurant that you've been laboring over, I mean, laboring over, how close are you?
We're close. You know, I see the finish line. You know, I'm not trying to mansplain it any, you know, to you, both you ladies who have kids, but I feel like we were once in this, like, we saw the ultrasound, the drawing, the rendering. I'm like, oh, look, it's a little head.
Yes, right.
I think that's an arm, you know?
Yes.
Like, and now we're starting to see it put together, you know, I go in and there's The whole building project thing is it's you have to be patient because at first it's all structural, right? So it's like the pipes, the wiring, and they need to finish all that. But once they started throwing the drywall on, you're just like, oh, yes, that's what that room looks like. Oh, for the last 3 years, I've only seen it in a architectural drawing or a rendering where it's just like this 3D rendering.
Right.
And now you're like, I can touch it and I can feel it. And not to be a dork, but the other day they literally drywalled the bathrooms and had everything kind of set up in the bathroom. And it was just all drywalled and it wasn't just studs in there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is coming together. Like the bathroom.
I'm about to go to the bathroom in my restaurant.
Yeah. So like you're doing that, or like, you know, the other day they put the hoods up, you know, and I literally just like sat there and watched these, you know, four dudes like putting the hoods up, and I looked like a creeper just staring at them. You know, they spray painted, they painted the ceiling, you know,
and I'm like,
oh man, that's the exact same color it is in the rendering. And so I have this wonder of like this little child wonder every time I walk in there.
Take all that in because I mean that wonder that like seeing the baby's arm come out, the fighting to get it out of into life, like that's the thing.
Yeah, and then this. This past Friday, yesterday, I took my parents.
Which felt like a week ago.
Yeah. I took my parents there and I got them like they've never seen, you know, this. And I took them there and my dad's a builder his whole life. He's a builder. He builds homes and everything. So he was like super excited. We were in the basement and I just trying to find the light. And suddenly like I see this bright light behind me. I'm like, what's going on? And like dad brought his headlamp knowing... Like, and he's checking all the nooks and crannies, you know, like the dad builder, that's a really strong structure there, son. And it was awesome to showing them rendering and explain everything to them where it's like, hey, dad, like we did it this way because this is an homage to you. Hey, mom, this is the homage to you.
Do you feel like there'll ever be a time where you, feel like you've done enough?
No, because I mean, as parents, do you guys ever feel like, you know,
it's never done.
Yeah. Like
it's never done.
Like I've done enough to love my kids or, you know, or given them everything and I'm good now. Like it's like there's this thing that's inside of you that says, hey, what's the next thing? What's the next thing?
And maybe we shouldn't cast because that's sort of a limitless question. But it's maybe that like there's always stages like there, like you can be proud and satisfied with what you've done. Mm-hmm. It's just that life just continues onward. So then you continue onward.
And
it can be enough, but it can then be more, too.
I've always discovered more and more about their story. Like, to find out that while in the refugee camp, Dad worked in the area where he was a butcher. And he would cut meat, and that's what he did. And he did it because they would get scraps, and he would bring it back to his family. And there's something about me growing up as a kid where I felt comfortable holding a knife, breaking down the sides of you know, animals with my dad. And there was just, it was just a natural thing to me. And I never knew that until I found out And I was like, oh man, it's in my blood. Like I get, this is so weird, but I get excited when I see whole animals and I'm like, how do we break it down? Like, it's weird. I mean, it's weird.
No,
but like, I never knew that. I found this out a few months ago.
Yeah.
That's what Dad did. And so like for me, I'm like, why am I so excited when it's like, oh, we can break down this animal or we can, you know, manipulate this, you know, chunk of the meat here and do this? Or like, why am I so all about over the grill and why it speaks to me? And it's not a trend, but it's like, that's what Dad did.
Yeah.
It's also cool, though, as kids, when you see your parents as the people that they are, like not as just your parent, but as their whole separate functional adult lives that they've had with you, before you, and will have after you.
Yeah.
That's also a really interesting moment.
It is because it's like you don't see them as, I mean, they're still your parents, but like, because all the emotions you went through as a kid and as an adult,
yeah,
it's like they went through that. Mom and dad, they were scared at
yeah.
one point.
Yeah.
They didn't know what was going to be the next step. Coming to this country, was that the right thing to do at that time? I don't think they knew.
Yeah.
You know, like my mom tells the story of the night before they were going to leave Vinay to come to America. It was, and we end up here at Eastside St. Paul, that dad said to mom, she said that it was at night and there was like, you know, a little glowy fire in where they were living and in the refugee camp. And dad said to mom, I want to go to a country where my sons and daughters can write their own destiny.
And we will leave it there.
Yeah, we're going to leave it there. That's
thank
amazing.
You,
thanks for being here.
Watch Relish.
And
watch for V&I.
Stay tuned.
And eat Slurp and eat Union Monk Kitchen.
Right. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1.
What an awesome show.
We've had a great show.
We started with Feeding Phil. We have a good show every week, Stephanie.
I know. Hey, happy Farmers Market. Seriously.
Yes.
I'm so excited the fact that the Farmers Markets are open. We did put a question up on the Facebook if you want to dig into that. And so you loaded a bunch of stuff up, didn't you?
I did. All the recipes. And if you're looking for the green pork chili that I was talking about... Sorry, that one's in my cookbook. I forgot.
All right.
But you can find it, True North Cabin Cookbook.
Right. So this one, we just asked, what ingredients are you hungry for the spring? And lots of people were asking or said, we got a lot of fresh veggies and flowers.
Rhubarb.
Asparagus, basil, ramps and morels.
Stephanie, I'm foraging this week with forager chef Alan Burgo for Taste Buds. I'm so excited.
Oh, so fun.
We're going to some like farm in the middle of nowhere to get ramps and I'm assuming mushrooms and I can't wait.
I have to tell you guys, you can get ramps at Whole Foods. So just so you know,
ramps.
I just want you to know if you feel like, oh, I'm not one of those lucky people. You can be.
Our friend Stephanie Meyer too had a ramp salt situation on her Instagram where you just blend up the ramp leaves.
I make that all the time.
Make it with salt.
I'm going to tell you, Katie had a great, she said, any tips or tricks for MSP Farmers Market or others parking, what to bring, cash, haven't been in years. And I said, we'll do this next weekend.
Yeah.
We'll do a Farmers Market roundup next Saturday. We'll talk a little bit about what are the highlights, what do you look for, all that kind of good stuff. Because I think that's a fun one. We used to have Beth Dooley
right
on
now.
Every year. Maybe we'll see if she's around and she wants to give us a report.
Yeah, she,
remember when she used to do that?
Yeah, I saw her. She, yeah.
Okay, I love that. Ooh, we have a lot of stuff going on next weekend. That's fun.
We do.
Ooh, exciting. All right, so what are you doing this weekend, girlfriend?
I'm having a dinner party tonight.
Yeah, what are you making?
I am making a side of salmon.
Ooh.
I am making a potato gratin dish that has both sweet potatoes and regular potatoes.
Okay.
I am making a homemade hummus.
Oh, yeah.
I am making a broccoli, roasted broccoli situation. I am wrapping asparagus with prosciutto with a little mustard sauce for an app.
Okay.
I'm making a rhubarb sauce to make a rhubarb cocktail. I've made the spritz with the Creeping Charlie.
Great.
And for dessert, I haven't decided if I'm going to attempt to make the angel food cake again that I have made twice and it's not worked, or if I'm going to channel Zoe Francois, who is going to be appearing with Taste Buds on next Sunday at 10:30 on a Mother's Day show and try her meringues.
Okay.
That's what I'm making.
That's a lot. Hey, we haven't done our Top Chef Wisconsin recap.
I can't because I can't cheat on Kurt.
Listen, Kurt is not important as
Kurt,
me.
Kurt, I can't cheat on him.
No,
he's okay.
This is the show.
I have to stay with you.
Kurt has to. Yeah,
sorry, Kurt.
This is not about Kurt. This is about me and the Weekly Dishers. Okay,
because there've been two things I saw and I stopped reading them because I'm one behind.
Okay, I got to talk about it though because we can't buckle up.
Please wait till next week.
All right,
I promise.
Then you have to promise from now on.
I promise.
I'm more important than Kurt
in this instance.
In this one moment,
I promise.
All right, because you know.
I promise, because I haven't started watching Hacks either, which season 3 just started.
I've never watched that, but I will watch it.
Oh, you would like
it. I keep, every time I pass by, because I'm watching Girls on the Bus, which I love, and I pass by and it always goes, do you want to watch Hacks now? And I haven't said yes.
And you did watch Baby Reindeer.
Oh, my God.
We have not talked about this.
You guys.
And you recommended it on your Substack.
I know.
And you hadn't watched it yet, so I was like, ooh. And it is recommend worthy for its acting, for its uniqueness.
It is a whole mind ride.
And it is a trauma inducing event.
Yes. And it, of course, and now you know that there's all this controversy around it because the comedian said it is a true story. And then there's a woman who was like, they're painting me to be this person that isn't, even though her name's not being released. She's admitting to being a stalker, but she said it was never like that. Which, of course, it's like based, it should, and I don't even know if he should have said this is a true story. I feel like he should have just said, you know, like the way Fargo says this.
Based on a true story.
Or something like kind of.
Loosely based.
Yeah, or like some of this happened to me, but like, and also there's this whole thing where there's a traumatic incident with a TV writer, and that's turned into this thing of like, everyone's trying to figure out who it is. And he's like, why are you guys doing that? I'm like, because that's the nature of the world. You said it was true, so then that means that people should be held accountable in people's minds.
And the beauty, it was really well written, and he wrote it.
Yeah.
And he acted in it, and he's also good at acting in it. But, like, I'm almost wondering now if we're almost being punked.
No, I don't. You can't. I mean, no.
Like, is this whole thing made up, or is this whole thing bigger than life in his retelling of it in his brain?
Well, I think yes, because when you perform, and he said, I mean, like there is dramatic,
and he is a comedian.
But he has said,
and
there is obviously a court case. A woman did go to jail for stalking him, so there is a little bit of that. As far as I know, I should say I haven't read the things, but that's what I've heard. So
it's interesting. It is a watch, and I would recommend it, but you got to be ready because it gets real weird.
I know,
but it's really incredibly acted.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about a couple other things happening. Obviously, like I said, Minneapolis Farmers Market is open. Mill City is also open today. Peppermint Twist opens on Wednesday in Delano, one of our favorite drive-ins. I know a lot of you have called in and asked about it before, so I want to make sure you understand that next Wednesday.
Wave to Mrs. Kelly if you go to Mill City Farmers Market and tell her the Stephanie sent you to go get tea.
Oh, the tea, Mrs. Kelly's tea?
Yes.
Okay. Bread and Pickle at Lake Harriet is open on Thursday this week, finally. The Untides Farm Stand, the little garden centers all over town. Those guys are open. So excited by that. Frio is open in St. Louis Park, which we've been waiting for it to open in the little Texatonka Mall. And on the cover of Minneapolis St. Paul magazine this year, for May, we have a beautiful stack of macaroon ice cream sandwiches, and those are from Frio Frio.
And how hard would those be to do?
No, they're amazing because
I know.
Here's the thing with ice cream sandwiches that are those thick, usually if it's a frozen cookie, it's hard to bite into and it makes me crazy. These are easy.
The way that she did
delicious.
That is incredible.
They are marvelous. So check out Frio Frio, and Wakapa Bar at Owamni is also open.
All right, we'll be back next week.
See you next week, guys. Ciao, ciao.